This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Hi, first time caller, long time listener.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Listen, we've had technical problems on and off all morning from here, and we need to be better than this, so let me apologize for that. But in the meantime, in the last few minutes of the program, Sandberg, you, Mary, Steve, and Dave, who for some reason can be heard on the same microphone headphone that I couldn't be heard on, we'll take it from here, and I'll check back in with you for a few minutes. And Sandberg, I believe you have a guest.
All right. Yes, we do. Author and lecturer and historian Louise W. Knight is in studio. She has written two biographies for Jane Addams. Back in 2005, she wrote Citizen, Jane Addams, and the Struggle for Democracy. And then now you have Jane Addams, Spirit in Action. And it's the first full-life biography of Jane Addams. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And when you set out to write the first book in 2005, did you know it was going to be incomplete in that you were only covering her formative years?
I have to confess. Well, I originally thought I was going to write in the first book a whole life, but it broke in half. I realized I had too much to say about the first half of her life. But then when I thought about writing what would have been volume two, I decided against that because the nature of the story changes completely. The biographers want to focus on the growth of character, how they change. And in the first half of her life, she's doing a lot of growing, and there's a lot of stuff to work with to figure out what's going on in her earliest writings, letters, etc. In the second half of her life, she's a national and international figure. She's playing a major role in a lot of historic events, but you can't track the growth. So it was a different story, and I didn't think I could do a whole volume on that. So I changed my plan and decided I needed to write a short full life because none had been written, and so that's what the second book was. None had been written lately.
Sure. Okay. So you couldn't track the growth. Why? Because her letters didn't reflect that?
Yeah, her letters were much more businesslike. Her letters were about, you know, what are we going to do about this bill in Congress? She was not exploring her inner wrestlings anymore. And also her ideas had gelled a whole lot more. The first book ends with where her ideas were when she was 40-ish years old.
Okay.
And after that, although I'm sure her ideas did change and grow a little bit, not as much. So I just felt it was a different kind of story, and it didn't merit doing in the same in-depth.
Now, I always wonder, somebody like her, did she realize any satisfaction from the efforts she was putting in and the changes she was making while she was doing it? Or is it something we can only appreciate now looking back at it?
That is a great question. And it's one that biographers often ask themselves as well. And I would say, I've gotten to know some of today's social activists since writing the book, and I'm always thinking about that question, you know, how much satisfaction are they getting? And what they've told me, and which I'm sure was also true for Addams, is that it's all in the effort. Okay. Because a lot of times they don't get there while they're alive. The goal they set that they work towards,
sure.
like women getting the vote. Addams did get there, thank goodness. But all the suffragists who worked long decades before that, like Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, never got there. But they say it's the friendships they form, it's the working side by side, it's the shared commitment that gives the pleasure. And so even though the child labor movement that Addams worked on from 1893 until her death, it wasn't actually permanently achieved until after she died, but they were devoted to each other's combined efforts to make it happen, and that was the satisfaction.
Okay, now you are going to be at a meet and greet and a book signing this Friday, correct?
Friday.
At the St. Jane Hotel, where you're going to offer insight on your biography for the hotel's namesake, and then you're going to talk about more in depth about her. Do you continue to learn about her, even though you've written two books? Like, is there more to know or insight that you can gain from
other
people?
Yeah, and where do you get all your information all about her besides letters?
Well, her writings, if you study them very carefully, are very revealing. And I would say, to answer your question also, that a lot of times what you figure out that's new is from rereading something she wrote,
sure,
that you've already read probably 20 times.
Some inside clues she gives.
Well, perhaps. It's like you've learned certain things
journals,
along the way,
yeah.
And then you read what she wrote again, and you go, oh, now I understand what's going on there. So, yeah, it's a very satisfying process to study someone's work and life and mind, because if they're complicated and rich thinkers. So I have continued to learn about her since then. I've given talks, you know, where I find myself saying things I hadn't even figured out in either book.
I like what you said, that if you're an enriched thinker, you know, there's some go down the path of some people that you look into and it says they actually were vacant or didn't offer much. Is there parts of her that, you know, she did amazing things and she's a strong woman and she was doing this tireless work, but are there parts of her that, is there any dark side or anything that maybe was to get things done she had to do that were not on the up and up?
That's another great question. One of the challenges for Jane Addams biographers is that she is kind of, she works very hard to be the ideal person that she aims to be, which is to say, to never get angry because she believed in nonviolence, to always work with others, even if your goals didn't completely align, as long as they weren't, you know, doing really bad things. And those are remarkable goals, right? And mm-hmm. she seems to have fairly achieved them. I would say one thing I have noticed, and of course, there's a lot I don't know, but everyone seemed to perceive her to be the way she wanted to be in those ways, you know, very kind and patient and loving and all of that. But she did become often very impatient with wealthy people who didn't understand the issue she was working with and who just wanted to be in her presence of a famous woman. Mm-hmm. And she would tend to dismiss them and just like, you know, I don't want to talk to you, which isn't necessarily kind, but she was a very busy woman. So I can sort of get that.
Sure. Well, plus, she wasn't interested in winning people over, I think, on that sense. You know, she wasn't rubbing elbows, or she was actually doing the hard work, and so she didn't have time.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to put together the second book?
Actually, that's an interesting question, too. Obviously, the first half I already kind of knew cold, and I had a total blast writing the first half because it was basically in my head. It's all fresh material. I only borrowed one paragraph from the first book, and so it was really fun to write it tight and new. That was a fun experience. Second half, I had to do all the research for it.
Okay.
So that took longer, but I had a deadline, which was the 150th anniversary of her birth. So I absolutely had to get it done by that time for the publisher to get it out by 2010. And so I pressed on efficiently as I could.
Okay. Now, Mary, you are you do crafts. You sew,
yeah.
You knit, you do things, and putting a deadline on a creative process can be difficult.
Oh, definitely.
I
was just concerned. I mean, I was thinking of how you go out and about and, you know, talk about your book at schools and things. I would suppose you do. How does your book relate to kids today? How does she relate to kids today? And do they ask a lot of questions about her? And what are some of their questions they ask?
Yeah, I haven't done really too many sessions with kids, actually. Maybe it's because I didn't write a children's book.
Right.
And there are a very many children's books about Jane Addams.
Yes, I read quite a few of them.
Right. But I would say in general about what she has to say to kids, I would say it's the message that, you know, many kids already have embraced these days, which is to be open-minded and, you know, friends with people of all different backgrounds, which was something they cultivated at Hull House because all the clubs and classes were open to all. It was a very diverse neighborhood. Once African Americans were mostly in the South Side during Jane Addams' lifetime, but as they started coming to the West Side, they were always very welcome at Hull House also. But most of the diversity was regarding different immigrant backgrounds, which, you know, were barriers in those days even more than today.
Oh, definitely.
And so she had kids always learning from each other's cultures and becoming friends in the theater program. They were performing together. And so that's a wonderful example of something we believe in still today.
That's very interesting.
I wonder if you dropped Jane Addams in right now, if she would be proud or disappointed or frustrated, you know, what you know about her, if you apply it to the era we're in, just in particular this last, you know, 2 years and the Me Too movement and women's voices being heard, what would her take on that be?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's in some ways I think I have some answers, and in other ways it's hard because she was a woman of her time. Mm-hmm. But Adams absolutely believed in women's equality. She was very frank about sexuality being. She thought sex should be taught in the schools, and in 1910 that was a very radical position. So I think she would have said of the Me Too movement, "This is real." She heard terrible stories about women being raped at, you know, when she was at Hull House, because abused wives came to Hull House to be protected from their husbands, and I'm sure she heard stories of rape as well. So she was totally immersed in the real world. She would not have been at all shocked, that's for sure. And so I'm sure she would have thought it was good to get the information out, because she spent her life, you know, spreading the truth about reality.
Now, you're working on another book about some radical abolitionist feminists. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sarah and Angelina Grimke. These are from a whole earlier period in American history, the early 19th century, born in Charleston, South Carolina, to aristocratic slave-owning family. And they became activists, the first women lecturers on the anti-slavery circuit in 1836. So they were very early, and also the first women to give public speeches to men and women on issues of public debate. So, and they wrote, Sarah wrote Letters on Equality of the Sexes, the first full discussion of women's rights. So they're kind of awesome.
I can't wait to read about them. I know, Mary, I don't know if you share this. Sometimes I get frustrated. I expect things to move much quicker. I know I'm in more of an instant gratification type era where I want to be heard. I want to be heard now. And if you don't hear me, I'm ready to dismiss you. You know, I'm not always interested in putting in the work, but these women dedicated their lives to getting issues heard and people heard and didn't give it up. And then I think I'm lazy.
Move a lot at a quicker pace than they did back then.
I think what you might discover is that the reward that you're looking for of, you know, it's solved. Mm-hmm. It won't be what you get, but you'll get the reward of joint effort.
Joint effort. Yeah, that's true. So I am going to look back to Paul and just get a time on your appearance that you have coming up.
Oh, it's 3 to 5.
3 to 5. Okay, so you're going to be at the Jane Adams Hotel, the St. Jane Hotel on Friday. You're going to be signing your book. You're going to be meeting and greeting. People can make donations.
They can buy a book, and the money will be donated to the Jane Adams Memorial Park, which is right next to the Navy Pier. And I should just say a word about the hotel. It was named in honor of Jane Adams, mm-hmm. And as an expression of the hotel's commitment to Chicago, because Adams was a very, very important leader in the city during her lifetime. There is no statue of Jane Adams yet in Chicago, but there needs to be. But at least there's a hotel.
Well, as a traffic person, how does she feel about having a highway named after her now?
I think on April 4th, I-90. When we get our female mayor, maybe they can work on our Jane Adams statue.
It's a good idea.
You know,
so. I think she thinks it should not be a tollway.
Oh, she'd want it to be
right.
Free.
She would be upset about that for sure.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Louise. And we'll post where people can get your book. So thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
You.